Talk some boxing. I'm joined right now by the oldest champion in boxing history. Bernard Hopkins is the WBC light heavyweight champ. He is 46, career record of 52-5-2, 32 by KO. He's going to put that belt on the line October 15th here in Los Angeles when he goes up against Chad Dawson. He joins us now to talk about that and a few other things. Bernard, always good to have you on the show. How are you?
Always good, Jim. How you doing? Doing good.
Bernard, I'm doing great. Nice to have you in the jungle, as always. Bernard, before we talk about your fight with Chad Dawson, I've got to get your thoughts on what happened in Las Vegas over the weekend. If you were in Floyd Mayweather's shoes, knowing that Victor Ortiz was still apologizing and not paying attention, would you have dropped him the way Floyd did?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, you know, we ain't a business, man, where, you know, when you out there in the jungle, which I call the ring, you have to, yes, follow by rules, but also you have to be aware that rules are enforced by a third man, and that's the referee. And after the apologize and after the points deduction, it's time to fight. One guy still wants to apologize. Hey, man, it's like, I guess if anybody know out there, it's like dealing with a hoe. You got to protect yourself at all times. And if you go in the ring, so it's sort of like boxing. You got to protect yourself at all times because you never know what can it be expected from the next guy. And that's something, look, Jim, that's something like any other athlete in any sport that he haven't learned. And, you know, some can argue, and I had a big discussion about it yesterday briefly after training, and we were talking. I said, listen, man, it's the difference between old school veterans, people that know pertaining to rookies. Boxing is the only sport that you don't hear the word rookie. You hear the word inexperience, but you don't hear the word rookie. We have those in boxing too. This is a sport just like basketball. He will learn one way or the other. Ortiz will learn that you have to protect yourself at all times. And second, you at war in that ring. And that ring, yeah, you can say I'm sorry. You can say, hey man, my bad. You know how we you can hit the glove. But after that, Floyd did what Floyd should have done. And like you asked me earlier, I would have done the same thing.
Bernard Hopkins, my guest. Bernard, one thought about that. I understand what you're saying, and what he did certainly was legal. Was there anything cheap about it? Was it a sucker punch?
Yes, it was definitely a sucker punch. I mean, you know how many people I sucker punch in the streets of Philadelphia?
How many?
It was a lot. Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't wait till a man get a chance to load his gut up. I mean, we both know we're in the ring. We both know that it was something that you have done, and okay, now we square up. I'm going to let you load your revolver or your gun, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to load mine. No. You don't have that split second. You don't have that situation in the ring. And Floyd went street on him. That was strictly, that's not in no boxing book. That's strictly what you call a move of opportunity, capitalize, you're sleeping, you're trying to be my friend, and I'm a sucker punch you. Hey, listen, you remember the Shane Mosley fight, when Shane was apologetic through the whole fight? He was so apologetic that it became ridiculous.
Bernard, let me ask you this. I don't think that Mayweather did the wrong thing, but when you talk about, hey, that was a street move, I understand that. Is there a distinction? I mean, is there the ring and is there the street, or are they the same thing? I mean, where's the element of sportsmanship come in?
The sportsmanship comes in when you shake hands, you go to your corner, you come out, and you start fighting. That was a move that, out of instincts and out of knowing that this man wants to go ahead and apologize for something he tried to do to me, but he failed, and that was the headbutt. See, I like to go back to the intent, which was so premeditated, because he had to think about it before he did it. He had to do it in frustration, too, and that's part of Ortiz. Listen, Ortiz is with Golden Boy, and I'm with Golden Boy, so I'm not taking favoritism here. I'm calling it straight like an experienced person and a fan, and I'm giving it straight to you. I'm telling you, when Ortiz realized that the frustration was in, he did what everybody witnessed. He leaped into Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather somehow got a busted lip out of the deal. That was a break for Floyd because he could have got his whole eyebrow split open. But instead, the referee did what the referee did and split him apart. And Floyd complained a little bit, but then he went back to action, as the referee said. And he did, and Ortiz wants to kiss and, you know, literally kiss and hug, and he got clipped. I mean, Jim, come on, man. This is war, man. Ask any football player, basketball player, especially boxing, man. The real OGs. Ask the real OGs, not this new stuff. Man, you were in there under those circumstances. Now, I understand I sucker punch you, and because the referee said, look, he's talking to one guy, and he sucker punch him right.
Hey, Bernard, let me jump in. I am talking to the real OG, so I know that. Let me ask you this. As somebody who's been where you've been, an old school guy and everything else, what did you find most offensive about that whole thing? Was it the headbutt? Was it the extended apology? Was it the kiss? What bothered you most about that whole thing as a real OG?
It bothered me because we ain't a fight business, which is the famous Mike Tyson quote was, the hurt business. And there's no time to verbally have a conversation with a guy. We apologize and make up with our hands, but after it's all said and done, when the winner wins and the loser lose, we always come together and hug each other. 99.9% of the time, Jim, and you've been a boxing fan for as long as I can remember, way before I even got in the game, is that we hug each other when it's all said and done. Most of us give props where props is due, and we move on with our lives. And the situation, that's what a real OG is, somebody that goes and knowing that there's really rules, but in the game of boxing, man, you guys throw elbows, guys throw this, do this. And if you complain about it, it puts you in the light of, you know, why you looking for help. Boxing is a really, really individual sport. We go in there, man, you looking at the referee, you looking at the corner. You seen guys, no names, no blame. Look at the corner when things get rough. The real boxing fans and people, and you know too, Jim, this guy's looking for a way out. Or who knows, Ortiz might have started feeling some heat and start saying, wait a minute, man, I can't hit this dude. He's slick. He's rolling. He's doing this. He's doing that. Hey, man, this how I'm going to get out the fight. This is the way I'm going to get out the fight. I'm going to leap in like a missile. So to me, Jim, that's not the veteran or the experienced guy. And the real guy that understands the game, understands that, man, you know, even though we're under rules, even though protect yourself at all times, even though, you know, things happen in the ring, you know, guys do it anyway. Some get away with it, some don't.
Right.
That's what I mean by a real OG. Somebody that ain't going to complain, let the referee do his job.
You're saying take care of your business. I get it, Bernard Hopkins. I'm going to jump in, Bernard, because we got to cover before we get to your fight, and already we're running out of time. That's how you carry this thing. I want to ask you really quickly, Bernard, I've watched your entire career, and maybe it's just me. I remember thinking before you fought Trinidad, I was one of those guys who bought into the fact that Trinidad was the best in the world pound for pound. I didn't see you winning that fight, frankly, but I was awed by your performance that night. Personally, I think that was your greatest win. I thought that was your greatest night. What do you think as you look back on your career? Was that your best fight?
As far as right now, it was, and I got a chance to match that come October 15th on HBO pay-per-view with Chad Dawson. I got another young buck. That's what I said, another young, strong buck, tall, athletic buck, and I'm going to buck him down. Watch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Dawson is all of those things, Bernard. He is tall, he's got that reach, he is strong, he's athletic. How do you go about neutralizing that? What's the plan for Dawson?
I'm going to take the bullet out of his guns, and then he's going to become a soft Maltese puppy.
Is that how that goes?
Yep. He's going to be carried around in some woman's pocketbook as a showpiece.
What concerns you most about Dawson and that matchup?
He has a big stance that I like because I don't have to find him. He's punching down, not punching up. So that gives my strategy a good range that we've been working on. And you know what? I think I'm going to bring a personality out of him because what I'm going to do is make Chad Dawson fight different than he ever did before, which some consider as real mild. But this is a chance for him to show that you know, the new Chad Dawson. Forget the bad Chad Dawson because he haven't shown that. And I can't fake the people out that's listening to this. Yeah, I want to sell a fight. I want to tell the people you should buy it. And I'm still telling you should buy it because it's what I'm going to do to the young guy. It's not actually what he's going to do to me. And the only way I can prove that is October 15th on the HBO pay-per-view to show y'all that I'm the guy that you should buy, why you should buy the fight to see the 40 and up club that's well alive in America that should come and see, either see the fight personally or watch the fight on HBO pay-per-view.
It's October 15th. It's Bernard Hopkins and Chad Dawson. You know, Bernard, you've always been a practitioner of mental warfare. Have you been able to get inside this guy's dome yet?
Well, I can tell that he's already affected because he already got rid of Emmanuel Stewart and he hired an old trainer from back in the day, not old in age. I'm familiar with the guy he got, but he's comfortable with who he's with. It was kind of mind-boggling that he also hired, allegedly, I heard from some reliable sources, Winky Wright. Now, Winky Wright got winked by me, and I'm trying to understand without any distractions, how can a man advise somebody that got beat by the same guy you're ready to fighting other than getting beat? So that's another a topic and an interview that he can give you, but I can tell you, that I've been working on his head even before a punch been thrown, and I'm not even doing it, intentionally. I'm just being Bernard Hopkins, and he's firing, hiring different people as we go to this October 15th HBO pay-per-view. So maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I'm not going to play either way into it. I'm too smart for that, bro. But in the meantime, I will be in the jungle that night in that ring.
Hey, Bernard, let me ask you something. When I asked you about Trinidad, you didn't really get into that, but I want to ask you one more thing about that. That was in the aftermath of 9/11. You know, you're a guy who's always been so focused on the craft and getting ready for the fight, but at that point, it must have been nearly impossible to think about a fight that you were going to have in a few days thereafter. And they still had that fight in New York City 2 weeks after 9/11. What was that time like for you?
That time was very, very uncertain. I'm going to tell you, I didn't believe the fight was going to take place, let alone that month, that year. I was there, as you mentioned, and also I remember like it was yesterday, just ran Central Park. My crew, we ran, we did what we had to do, got back at St. Regis, and we did what we had to do. And taking off, like, you know, my sweatsuits and all that stuff, man, and you know, and hearing on the news that a plane accidentally might have hit one of the towers, and then you see a plane cutting through the second one. Chaos, panic, phones wasn't working. I couldn't get in touch with my people. They couldn't get in touch with me. What I mean by that is at home, like my wife and also my other teammates, because they was in other parts of the city, the hotels. And it was really crazy for about 3 or 4 days because couldn't get out through the tunnels, and you know the planes were grounded. So it was really hey, listen, if I had to have mental strength to the highest peak and did anything I experienced in my life to prepare when it was announced that the fight was going to happen, I could say it was one of my greatest mental pull together. Under those circumstances, being in Madison Square Garden, police, FBI, everybody all over the place, canine dogs. That was one of my strongest moments that I had to pull myself together and pull off the victory that I did.
Hopkins v. Dawson coming up October 15th. It is a pay-per-view fight. It's here in Los Angeles, and Bernard Hopkins right in the middle of it. Bernard, great to have you on. I will probably run you down again before that fight. Nice talking to you once again.
God bless. Take care.
You too, Bernard. B-Hop. Well, he was no uncertainty in his mind. Mayweather, in his mind, did the right thing. That's what you do. It's boxing. It's war. If you're going to kiss and apologize and hug, that's on you, not on the guy who threw the punch.